Hello and welcome to another youth podcast. This message was originally recorded on June 7th, 2006. We're continuing our study in Genesis, and we're looking at chapters 18 and 19 today, studying Sodom and Gomorrah. And here's the question I have for you. How can a God of love also be a God of wrath? People often say that God is a God of love, and they believe that there's things that a God of love just wouldn't do. Can a God of love also be a God of wrath? We'll find out. Stick around. Okay, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that God can both love people and experience anger towards them at the same time? Can God be both a God of love who loves people and wants to draw people to himself, and also at the same time be a God of wrath who hates sin and hates the fact that people sin and wants to destroy that and get rid of it? That doesn't seem too hard to believe or understand, right? You see, God hates sin. He hates it. If you could think of something that you know that you absolutely hate, probably my biggest pet peeve in the world is people who take their phones into the movie theater and not only take them in, but don't turn them off, and then they ring during the movie. And even worse is when people who have a phone ringing actually pick it up and answer the phone and talk to somebody while watching a movie in the movie theater. I paid money to watch the movie. I'm sitting there wanting to see it, and here's these people yakking on the phone. That I hate. I have just a strong desire to go over there and grab that person's cell phone and break it in half and tell them to be quiet. And yet, as a Christian, I love people, and I still experience both love and hate, both love and wrath. And you see how that works. God can both love people but still hate sin and desire to remove it and destroy it and get rid of it. And we're going to see that in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. God's biggest pet peeve here is sin. He hates it, and Sodom and Gomorrah is filled with it. In Genesis chapter 18, starting with verse 16, here's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him, for I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" And God answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" And God answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. Now Sodom and Gomorrah was a vile and wicked place, and their sin just filled everybody who was there. God's desire was to destroy it. However, with God's wrath that burned against Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham pointed out something. What if there are some righteous people in the city? You know, God, would you destroy it and wipe away the righteous with the unrighteous? Are you going to punish the righteous people for what the unrighteous people are doing? And so God said, no, if there's some righteous people in the city, I won't destroy it. And here's a perfect example of God's wrath and love working together. He hates sin, and Sodom and Gomorrah is filled with sin, and it's just a vile city, and so many wicked things are going on there, and his wrath burns against them, and he desires to destroy it. And yet, for the sake of only a few righteous people, he would not destroy it, so as not to destroy them. You see, God loves those who are righteous and who are holy, who are his children, who are his people. And for the sake of the righteous, he wouldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So let's see what happens. Look with me in Genesis chapter 19, starting with verse 1. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we will spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house, and they called out to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Get out of our way, they replied. And they said, this fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them. And they kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here? Son-in-law, sons, or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry of the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But the sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives, and don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. We read from the Bible that as Lot and his wife and family took off across the plains, God had commanded them not to look back. And then suddenly his wife looked back and poof, she turned into a pillar of salt. You think, well, that's kind of harsh, you know. She just looked back to the city and then poof, you're salt. But the thing is, she didn't just look back at the city. She longed for it. It was her desire to go back. She was sad that it was being destroyed and she longed for the city, which was wicked and vile. And by longing for that wickedness, she was like them, and as God was destroying the city, he destroyed her as well. In this whole story, you see how God deals severely with sin. When people are unholy and sinful, there are consequences to that, and God deals very severely with that. And that's why in the Bible we see the two different places, you know, heaven and hell. What happens when you die? There's a heaven, there's a hell. We talk about hell and being a place of torment and weeping and gnashing of teeth and a horrible place. And what is this place for? It is for the punishment of sin against an eternal God. And the Bible says we've all sinned against God. And we all fall short of the glory of God. We all deserve hell, every one of us. None of us deserve to be with God or in the presence of God. And yet, we also see God's mercy. God had mercy on Lot on account of Abraham. And in fact, God gave Abraham his word that if he found even just 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, he would not destroy it. But guess what? God didn't find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. There weren't any. Everybody was evil and wicked and corrupt, and because of it, the city was destroyed. In verse 24 of chapter 19, it says, "Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah, from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe and overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. One of the questions that we need to ask is, why did God punish the city? We say it's because of sin, but what kind of sin? Understand, first of all, that homosexuality was rampant in that city, and you could see that as they tried to take the angels. But it wasn't just that particular sin. It was any type of sin that you could possibly think of. They were just covered in it, and they were wicked, and they had no remorse for it. There was no problems with it. They just did it, and it was the whole city. And so it was because of sin itself and wickedness that caused God's wrath against the city. And, you know, homosexuality was only one expression of the many sins that caused this to happen. One thing that we can pull out of this is that God punishes sin. Sin has consequences. And folks, we all deal with it. We all have sinful things in our life. We all deal with weaknesses in our life. And those weaknesses get us in trouble. We have all kinds of things that we deal with. And even stuff that you've done years and years ago come back to haunt you years later, just because these sins have consequences, okay? In issues that we deal with, God doesn't just sit back and say, "Oh, well, they're sinning, no big deal." He allows our sin to overtake us and all of the stuff to happen in our life. And so I want you to hear this. God's holiness demands your righteousness. God's holiness demands your righteousness. The fact that God is holy and pure means that we are to be righteous creatures in order to approach Him and be before Him. But you see, the world is full of this sin, and the sin that God hates, and even the sin that is within us, God hates. And shouldn't we hate the things that God hates? And ask yourself that. Do you truly hate your sin? Do you hate what God hates? That is a characteristic that we need as we deal with sin in our lives, because you have to understand, you know, when you look at yourself and say, "I sin in all of these areas and I have these problems," you have to look at that and say, "And God hates it." And if there's something in our life that God hates, then that should be something that we make every effort possible to deal with, to try to overcome and get rid of. But remember, you can't do it on your own. No matter how many times you try to do it on your own, you'll fail every time, because it takes the power of God to overcome the sin in our lives. And here's the good news. God is ready and willing to help us overcome those sins. God is willing and ready to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and to make us pure and holy before Him, and allow us to come before Him, and all of those things. God is willing, able to do it because of His love. And yet those that never experience the cleansing from Jesus will get what they deserve, and that's hell. They'll get what every one of us deserve. And we have to look at that and understand that God's wrath comes upon those whose sin is not forgiven, whose sin runs rampant in their life. Do you let sin control you? Do you let it control your life? You know, some people say that they don't get into this religion thing because it's full of rules and things you have to do, and you can't do a lot of things in life, and you can't enjoy life, and you can't go out and have fun and do all of these things. But that's not what it's about. You see, all of those things have that people say are fun, and they have to enjoy, and they can't do if they are religious. Those are things that are controlled by sin. And you see, they're slaves. They're slaves to their sin because they have to do these things. They feel like they have to fill themselves with all of this stuff And you don't need that stuff. You don't have to fill yourself with that stuff. And while they may be slaves, those who know Jesus and are cleansed by him and follow his word and do what is right, you're not slaves to that. You have overcome it. You are greater than they are because of it. But in the same way, shouldn't we do something about those who, because of their sin, they're going to face the judgment of God? You know, the people around us who don't know Christ, who are going to face his judgment, and we know it, and we understand it, and they don't, shouldn't that be something that concerns us and is on our mind as well? It should be. So as you think about your life and dealing with your own sin, make sure that you think about others as well. Your friends around you, your family, people around you, do they know Christ? Do they know what's coming? Do they know how to deal with it? Because if they don't, you're in a perfect position to help them because you know these things, you understand them, and you're able to share that with somebody. So to sum this all up, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah teaches us several things. Number one, it teaches us both about God's wrath and his anger, and also his love. God's wrath and anger burns against sin, and he hates when we sin, and we grieve him when we sin, and he just absolutely hates it, and it's something that he wishes to remove and to destroy. And yet, on the other hand, those who are righteous, those who seek after him, he wishes to save and to help. And God himself said he would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if he found at least 10 righteous. But he didn't. They weren't there. And we also see that God has mercy on us. You know, God doesn't have to keep the world spinning. He doesn't have to keep us here. He could have destroyed us long ago, said, you know what, man is wicked and evil, just destroyed us all. He didn't have to pull Noah's family out. He didn't have to do any of that. Yet he has had mercy on us, and he continues to have mercy on it. Even though people around us and are wicked and there's wickedness all around us, God continues to have mercy on us. How can we share this with others? You understand it. You understand that God has mercy on you and that you are cleansed of your sin and that you should continue to seek a life far away from sin, and you need to stay away from it. But how can you share that with someone else? How can you talk to somebody about it? Think about somebody this week that you know for sure that if they were to die, that they would be facing the judgment of God, and it would not be a good thing. Think about somebody like that, whether they're your family, friend, whatever, and figure out a way this week to talk to them about it. Let them know, hey, you know, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath, and he hates sin. And let them know, share God's love with them, try to help them see and understand as well. Thank you for joining us today for our podcast. We hope you join us again next week. If you have any questions, you can contact me at craig@tbcsullivan.com.